Hello and welcome back to An Abundance of Not. We wish you a happy April 15th tax day here in the States. Garrett here, joined by Brad and Wade.
Hello.
Hello,
everyone.
Did
you guys get all your taxes done?
My taxes have been done for months.
Ah, shut up.
Done and returned.
Ooh.
Woohoo.
I got my CPA, my direct deposit information today. So I owe him $110 and then, you know, off to the races.
You have a CPA?
After buying the house this past year, yeah. I am no longer doing it solo.
Okay.
It's actually a long-term family friend who's been doing tax for my folks for a long time. And, you know, time to be an adult and stop doing the old taxact.com or whatever.
Okay. I have always done mine.
Yeah. Wade, you said you got your return already.
Yeah. Came home, was like, I'm just going to look how much money I have. Oh, $2,000. Okay.
A whole new paycheck.
All right. I can work with this, and I get paid on Thursday, so...
Nice.
So, well, I get paid when this podcast airs. So,
sounds like a good week for you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Especially with what I've already purchased with it.
Yeah.
You want to tell?
Share with the class, or are you being intentionally vague?
Oh, I like being intentionally vague sometimes.
Brilliant.
Anywho, some people might be familiar with the Camtasia Studio video editor. Garrett, I do believe you use it.
I do, and it is a very user-friendly tool that allows a lot of functionality.
Yep, so I've upgraded from, like, Windows Movie Maker or, like, My Movies to a decent video editing software. So I've been basically sitting up in my office
lair.
Area. Lair, whatever. Being like, I can do this and this.
Fortress of Evil.
And that and this.
Solitude, more like.
Yeah. But it's...
Welcome to the big leagues, brother.
Yeah, just seeing the amount of things I can do, I'm like, this is nice.
My only recommendation is don't try to do too much.
I was just having fun putting the call out.
Sure. I'm just saying that when you do around with stuff like that, less can be more.
It's just putting, like, when the car... Doing a fun with Hearthstone is whenever, like, a card would, like, come out and it says something. Like, Illidan Stormrage would come out and yell, like, you are not prepared. But by the time he came out, I've already had the match won. So when it shows the big old card, it was like, put the cat, call out, and neither is he. It's just messing around.
I mean, cool. Have fun with it, but don't, you know, try to do every possible animation and notation that you can.
Yeah, it's just playing around with it for today. So.
Good, good. Well, congratulations to that.
Absolutely.
It's fun. You got extra $300 kicking around. Have fun.
That so sucks for Windows users. I mean, Brad, what did you pay for your version of Camtasia?
I believe we got it through a Humble Bundle or some such charity name your own price thing. I think I paid like $10 for 30 different apps, including Camtasia.
Yeah, I think I piggybacked on that deal too. So we got... Like a ton of programs for next to nothing, and Wade had to pay $300 for the one program.
Ow.
But it's money. It's I see is well spent if it does increase the the quality of video substantially.
Sure. And that's fair to say. Let's see here. Well, to carry on the personal stuff, this past week was spring break for the kid. I took a few days off work to keep her entertained, and I took her go-karting for the first time. One of those things that you're never really sure how that's going to go.
This is actually the first time hearing of this.
Well, there you go.
Joik.
Which is funny, because we were like just down the street from your work. This is, again,
Joik.
Thursday. Yeah. You put a 9-year-old behind the wheel of a vehicle, of which they get to control solely on their own, and you kind of wonder how that's going to roll out. She did both okay and also enjoyed herself enough to do it again. So we opted for a second round and, she had a good time. So, I'm very proud that she's not afraid of that. And then Wade and I went to a pet expo.
Not just on you Friday. And me, all of us.
The family on Friday. Something that comes around every year to our local fairgrounds where they've got rescue shelters or groups represented, on-site pet adoptions, reptiles, cats, dogs. They have chickens.
Birds, little chickens bit of birds.
At one point.
Was there?
I don't know.
I don't remember.
Rabbits. I said guinea pigs.
Oh, there were
but yeah, menagerie. A whole reptile, a whole menagerie. That whole reptile wing, which is cool. Then they had a guy who raises exotic birds and had a bird show. And he had a, it wasn't a California condor. It was a South American condor.
Oh, the big thing that opened big old, up the door.
Like 12 early. Foot wingspan. That thing's wicked.
Then but
he had,
what else?
He had a, not an emu, but something similar to an emu.
An ostrich?
No, smaller.
It's got a crest, but looks like an emu, but it's got like a slight crest on the top of its head or bill. I believe it's still Australian native.
Cassowary?
Cassowary.
Yeah, yes, that's
what it is. Yep. Along with a few other things. So that was really entertaining, and we picked his brain, being that we are bird owners as well, as to some tips, tricks, and or concerns that we have with our birds. So that was very helpful. Wade and I got a little too much sun, which is always fantastic in Southern California.
I get red, mate.
Yep.
Just red.
And aside from that, I don't think there's much else to report on the personal front.
Don't
on
get this tanned. End. I just get red.
Yeah, Wade just turned into thing. A lobster. It's fine.
I burn, and then I tan for like 2 days, and then the tan peels off with the burn.
The weird thing is that I don't really feel the
rinse
burn.
Rinse and repeat. Oh.
It's just like, I'm red. It's like, what is this?
Yeah, it was a little tender. And then my face peeled. So that was awesome.
Like, I just
felt like a serpent just shedding my
skin. You saw how red I was. And I could just be slapping my arm and like felt nothing.
Yeah.
It's weird.
You're strange.
So somewhere there is a shell of Garrett.
That's right. Good luck finding it.
it's just some like statue, like halfway between Irvine and here.
He's a basilisk. Don't look in his eyes.
That's right. Turn you to stone. How about you over there, Mr. Brad? What's going on in your little world?
It has been a busy week.
Yes.
Let's put it that way. So the weekend wasn't bad. We had soccer.
Indoor, right?
Indoor soccer, yeah. So, you know, whatever.
Every until time you're vested.
Well, you know, we give it our all, but indoor is just its own weird animal, and it's like not quite ball. The same.
Every time I hear of indoor soccer, I always think of your kids just like saving the ball from going, well, can't really be out of bounds, but
nope,
like kicking it back in, but just like slamming into like the wall with padded, of course.
No, there is no out of bounds though. You can kick it right off the wall. Kick, everything's
yeah,
still in
bounds.
Yeah,
kick it into the wall and bounce it back.
You start.
Then
it
hits you in the face.
Bank shots.
Suddenly you're making $100,000 on America's Funniest Home Videos.
There you go.
Woohoo! We win.
New business venture.
Then this week has been a whirlwind jet tour. I started off in Chicago Monday, was in North Carolina Tuesday, and now I am in New Jersey, unfortunately.
We mean no disrespect to our New Jersey fans.
No, I mean every level of disrespect.
I like it. Let's stick with that.
Yeah, so I got a little bit of a cold coming on, so I went to the pharmacy before we started recording and got some medication.
Drugs.
And on my way back, you know, New Jersey is one of those places, the only place in the union that has the crazy, sometimes you can turn left, except sometimes you have to turn right to turn left.
No.
It's
the only
nuts.
Time I've been in Jersey is when I flew into Newark to get into New York.
It sucks. That's their sick. Road system sucks. The roads were not clearly signposted as to whether I needed to turn right to turn left or if I could turn left from turning left. And then the intersection said no turns. So I had to go through the intersection and the next stop was the toll road.
Awesome.
So I got stuck on the toll road, had to go up to the next exit, pay the toll, turn around. I don't like this place.
And I hate driving in L.A. I hate L.A. driving.
L.A. is just traffic sucks. And you've got a couple of one-way streets to make sure you don't turn the wrong way on the one-way, which I may or may not have done once.
You were only going one way.
I was. It's not my fault the traffic was going a different way. How am I supposed to know? But yeah, nothing like, for what it sounds, New Jersey has to offer.
Yeah.
So you're there the rest of the week, flying home Friday?
I am. Then here again next week.
Very good. Speaking of, briefly, kind of off topic, but have you seen the agenda for when you will be out in this area?
I only just saw that it was posted, so okay. No.
It's fairly solid packed. I mean, 7:30 in the morning to 9 o'clock at night. So.
Oh, peachy.
Yeah, you'd be in the fishbowl? Awesome.
What?
You'd be in the fishbowl?
What fishbowl?
The place, your work?
No, that, no.
Oh, darn. I don't get to come in and tap the glass.
Ting, 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 just ting, throw ting. Food pallets in.
That's right.
We'd be most grateful.
Feed the starving installers. It's fine.
That's right.
Don't tap the glass. It scares the installers.
That's right. Wild animals.
We're a skittish bunch, used to dark closets.
For $5, you can toss in a couple food pallets.
Yet another business venture. Wow, we're on a roll.
Nice.
Here.
You're welcome.
Nice. All right. Well, with that, let's jump into some movies. So coming out in the movies, it looks like maybe four or five options this week. Number one is Paul Blart Mall Cop 2.
No.
Not much to say about this. It's rated PG and a renowned critic rating of 0%.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Not looking too favorably for this one. If you've seen the trailers, great. If not, Paul Blart visits Vegas, gets hired as security, and has to thwart a crime spree, so to speak. So
same story, different location.
Pretty much. Hangover Part 7. Number two
Please,
in
dear
the...
God, no.
Number two in the movie release is True Story. This is with Jonah Hill and James Franco. Rated R with a critic rating of 52%. When disgraced, New York Times reporter Michael Finkel meets accused killer Christian Longo. Wow, who comes up with these names? Who have taken on Finkel's identity. His investigation morphs into an unforgettable game of cat and mouse. Based on actual events, Finkel's relentless pursuit of Longo's true story encompasses murder, love, deceit, and redemption.
So, seeing as it's based on a true story, my guess is the people that came up with those names were their mothers.
Or more accurately, their surnames, because it's Michael Finkel and Christian Longo. So, pretty interesting surnames there.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Again, 52% on that one. Number three, one down Wade's alley, Unfriended, rated 88%. And also... Hide Your Children, it is rated R. No significant names on this one. However, the trailer for this has been floating around to YouTube pretty aggressively. Unfriended unfolds, huh?
Not only YouTube, it's been on TV quite a bit.
Yeah,
as well.
They're pushing this pretty hard. Unfriended unfolds over a teenager's computer screen, over teenagers, rather, multiple. She and her friends are stalked by an unseen figure who seeks vengeance for a shaming video that led a vicious bully to kill herself a year earlier. So there's that.
Uh-huh.
There's that. It's pretty much. That pretty much sums up the movie. Feel free if you like shocking on, just get generally getting freaked out. That's for you.
Yeah. If you like scary movies and Facebook.
That's right.
Exactly. Steam chat.
Yeah.
Steam, yeah, right. Whatever it is. It looked like a Skype conference chat or something is what that's
nice.
Appeared on in the movie. Number four this week is Child 44. This is rated R critically at 27%, featuring the likes of Tom Hardy and Gary Oldman, amongst others. A politically charged serial killer thriller set in 1953 Soviet Russia Child 44 chronicles the crisis of a conscience. Conscience for secret police agent Leo Demidov, played by Tom Hardy. Apparently he's Russian now. Who loses status, power, and home when he refuses to denounce his own wife, Raisa, as a traitor. Exiled from Moscow to a grim provincial outpost, Leo and Raisa join forces with General Mikhail, I'm not even trying to pronounce the last name, to track down the serial killer who preys on young boys. Their quest for justice threatens a system-wide cover-up enforced by Leo's psychopathic rival, Vasily, who insists there's no crime in paradise. This is brought to us by Liongate Studios, who I typically like their stuff. But only at 27%, I can't say I'll be rushing out to the theaters this week. Finally on the list, Monkey Kingdom, rated G for all the family viewers at a critic rating of 100%.
Wow.
Mark Linfield's nature documentary Monkey Kingdom follows the struggles of a young monkey mother to care for and raise her new baby in the wilds of Southern Asia. That's all. Yeah, exactly. No viewings were had this weekend. So, I can't say that we'll be rushing out for anything coming.
Yeah, nothing really
this time soon.
Yeah, it feels very much like we're in the off season.
We're in the lull until Avengers comes out. Let's be honest with that.
Thank God I have a free movie ticket. Because I may be able to do Unfriended if I really am bored.
There you go.
Get desperate.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea. We don't get too many horror reviews here. Because I'm not the biggest fan of wasting my money on a flick such as that.
It's not a waste if you enjoy it. It's
not a waste if I have a free movie ticket.
Not my cup of tea is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, to the news.
And some heartwarming news this week for us. We've covered previously how podcasts and podcasting has been encumbered by patents, or more specifically, patent trolls. These lowlifes, shall we say, hold very vaguely worded patents that they can then use to extort licensing fees. Thankfully, we never did get contacted by them, thank goodness, but there has been that threat. Well, this week, good news came from them, is that the Electronic Frontier Foundation, with funding from crowdsourcing, reappealed the patent to the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, and the Trademark Office took another look at it and invalidated the patent.
Sweet.
What was the group again?
Absolutely. Say again?
What was the group again?
The group is called... The group that invalidated it or that
the
held it?
The tried to, that held it, but were then invalidated.
It was held by a company named Personal Audio.
No, before that.
Well, what is your question?
The company, it sounded like a group.
Oh, the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Yeah, that sounds like a cult.
Hey, if they're a cult supporting me, I'm all for it.
I don't think they were. I think there were people holding on to the patent.
No, they were the ones who were fighting to release the patent.
They were the ones fighting it.
Oh, okay. Then I'm sorry. You guys are cool.
They're the good cult.
Yeah.
Drink the Kool-Aid. Drink the Kool-Aid.
Absolutely drink the Kool-Aid. No, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, I don't agree with everything they do, but they, by and large, they tend to be, they fight... legally fight for a lot of freedoms and net neutrality and, you know, just trying to do away with the BS laws.
Right, nice. I retract my statement. They are cool guys.
Yes, yes, they are.
They are our friends and we like them very much.
Very, very much. So, definitely head over George. To the EFF and make a donation. We would appreciate it. Patent is now goodbye.
Yeah, we appreciate EFF there, but skip donating to them. Go to Amazon and shop through us. I mean, if you need a place to put your money, my address will be posted for you to send it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Watch out there, Tony Stark. Come I don't in. Need helicopters and missiles running up my front door. Thank you. Well, the front door. Sorry.
The front door. That's right. Well, speaking of things flying through the air, new news with Amazon and the FAA. Apparently, it was came out this week that Amazon has received official approval to resume their testing on the drone delivery system, unencumbered by the previous excessive limitations under the previous guidelines.
That being that the drone that got approved was outdated.
That would be the one.
Yeah, you can now go to 401 feet.
We're not saying that the you'll start seeing drones in the air delivering your packages tomorrow, but Amazon, at least in the U.S., now has permission to test and work on it. We know they weren't stopping that for other places. They made it very clear that they were going down this path in the areas they were allowed to. Now they're allowed to test here.
Makes me wonder if it was just a response thing from the government. You know, Amazon was not being dissuaded. We're going to test these drones. Whether you like it or not, we'll find somewhere where we can test it. Which then brings economic power, because essentially it's a case of, look, you're losing money. We will take our money and go somewhere else.
Yeah, and I don't think it's so much, you know, hey, government, we're taking our money somewhere else, but we at Amazon are testing this in regions and or countries where we're allowed to. And we will continue to develop the technology, and hey, government, when you allow us to do it here, we'll be that much more prepared. But you stopping us in U.S. grounds isn't stopping us really from doing this as a company.
I wasn't thinking that it was an economic threat, like sure. Not a direct blackmail. But it definitely is a case of, look, we'll take our money and we'll go somewhere else where they do want us to play. Well, that's enough to get most governments' attention.
Yep. Now, the FAA administrator, Michael Huerta, told PBS, which is where we get the story, that the agency is moving slowly because of the safety challenges posed by commercial drone use. So, I mean, really what's going on here, from what I'm extrapolating, that the drone industry has skyrocketed so quickly that just plain and simple legislation and regulation hasn't been able to catch up. Right. And now they're red taping everything until they can really sift through it with a fine-tooth comb. And where they think they might be, okay, hey, give these guys the green light, because of their lack of knowledge, they're not really accomplishing that, at least in Amazon's first attempt.
Well, and given the safety issues at stake here, we don't want them to rush into it.
Oh, I totally agreed. I'm just trying to give a little perspective.
Sure, sure. I think this is one of those cases where the stress, the strain, the tension between government and business is a good thing. Business wants to rush forward and government wants to hold back. And I don't necessarily see that as being bad. Look, make sure it's safe before you turn it loose on us.
We need to know what we don't know now so that we can know it tomorrow.
Exactly. So that was a tongue twister.
Did you like that?
Very.
Did you come up with that just now?
Just now.
Wow.
Brilliant.
No, wouldn't this cut
you
down?
You couldn't do that again.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Wouldn't this cut down on like a lot of the Amazon trucks or delivery trucks that are going out?
Well, Amazon doesn't deliver their stuff directly. They're still using FedEx and UPS for their stuff.
I just thought it'd be a bit more greener.
And depending on the regulations and how this goes about, you know, the previous ruling said that the pilots of the drone had to retain line of sight, which means you still had people traveling around and doing the piloting. Now, if they get into a more quote-unquote military-esque piloting system with field point of view and whatnot from off-site, and have drones that can handle the longer range antennas, the longer flight times, to where they can have distribution centers that manage the drones, then that could change things. So I'm not really sure what the new approval stipulations are. You know, before they could only go a certain altitude, they had to retain line of sight, and it had to be on this one specific drone model that Amazon wasn't even using anymore. So we know that they've gotten a larger or more blanketed approval, but I don't know if that's, you know, across the board.
Suddenly the Oculus Rift seems a very good thing for...
You say
for
that
drone
there's a lot
pilots
of,
everywhere.
I'm not actually joking. I think like pilots
I'm
just be
not
like
either. In the drone Rift. Community, there is a product called FPV. I believe it's called
First person view?
First person view, thank you. And a lot of guys, some guys use a monitor because they don't like something on their head, but there are companies that sell FPV goggles that you see wherever the camera is you put on the drone, a live feed from the drone flying wherever. Some people use goggles, some people use a screen because they get more out of it, I guess.
Only, and they can share it.
I'm just waiting for that, like, Craigslist ad. Amazon is looking for 50,000 drone pilots.
Makes you wonder. It does make you wonder.
Experience, you might want to start racking up your pilot hours now.
That's right. Start filling out a resume to Amazon. Experience.
Absolutely.
You're sitting there with a couple joysticks and an Oculus Rift on your head. Just be like, okay, yep. And iPad delivered, next one. Set that one to remote return. Next one, this needs to go to 25367 Springfield Boulevard. All right.
Makes you wonder, though, how much they'll tie automation into it.
Well,
will there be actual pilots, or is it just going to be GPS drop points?
That's a good point. It's my understanding, at least with consumer drones, that there's only two approved autonomous flight modes for drones and drone pilots. Again, this is hobbyists, not commercial.
Hobby.
So I don't know if the systems are different. But those two modes are a fixed hover, to where once you get it to where it wants, you engage it, and you can stop giving it signal. It will retain its location. The other autonomous mode is the return to home function. No other autonomous flight options have been approved for hobby use. Whether they can approve more for commercial, it's a different story, and you may have a point. Input to Google Maps, you know, deal with, you know, pre-programmed, fly up to certain altitude, go to where you need, then drop, whatever. I don't know.
Just got to be careful. Sure. Which one, you have to find a one that will handle the fragile packages. You don't want to just dropping things.
Oh, there goes the fine china.
Take a lesson from NASA. Just wrap it in bubble wrap.
It'll be fine.
Launch it into the atmosphere. It'll bounce a few times. Don't worry about it.
Don't worry. Just hope it lands right side up.
Oh, God. NASA making a delivery system. Just shoot it up and we'll just calculate it.
Just see where it comes
to. What happened to fall on the people's doorstep.
Danger, Will
it'll,
Robinson.
It'll
danger.
Take 6 years to be delivered, but after it's circled six planets,
you will have your now outdated iPad.
Exactly.
Sorry, Amazon Fire.
Amazon Fire, nice. It'll be on fire after re-entry.
That's right. Yes, it will.
Other products are available.
The Fire HD for when you want more fire.
In glorious high definition.
Moving on. Wait.
So real you can see it. Oh, wait. That's coming right at me. But out of fire, well, from one area into another.
Out of a frying pan into the fire?
What?
Out of the frying pan into the fire. When it's bad, you can get worse.
Well, apparently for Nether Realms it is. Mindlessly tortured reference. But anyway.
Mildly.
Nether Realms, with their release of Mortal Kombat 10 this week, found themselves in, well, out of the frying pan into the fire with their microtransaction systems. This also came into the point where the game on day one was near unplayable, where the pretty much the meat of the game, the online play, was blacked out, along with several other features which were made not available to choose, including the credits of the game.
Oops.
Nice.
So, continuing on, their multiple transactions included unlocking the crypt, all of the crypt, which some people didn't see any problems that that was more cosmetic upgrades or cosmetic changes, such as skins and stuff. The biggest one was holding Goro, the four-armed guy, behind a pre-order paywall.
So the only way you could get the character was to pay for it?
For $30.
Holy crap.
Whoa.
And they call that a microtransaction.
Yeah, it's a whole nother game.
Several indies, if you want to get it far.
Well, yeah, but Mortal Kombat is not an indie game.
Well, the $30 could be used to... for multiple indie games.
Yes, I get it.
That's nuts.
That's going a bit too far.
Whatever happened to just making revenue on the sales of the game? I mean, is that not a thing anymore?
Well, when
pre-orders... It is. Go ahead, Wade.
With pre-orders, and people will obviously pay for that. I know one of my coworkers did.
But when you pre-order a game, you're not paying any extra for it. You're just reserving a copy when it comes out. Doesn't technically cost you anything. You're just paying for it up front versus waiting.
But you're maybe paying for something that isn't all that good. You're putting money down on a gamble.
But there's no... If I wanted to go pre-order a game tomorrow, I'm not legally bound to buy that game. If I want to opt out, I opt out. Now, maybe at that point, I lose the $5 or $10 I put into it.
There is that.
Big deal. $5.
You were saying, Mr. Bread?
$5 is a couple microtransactions.
Not at $30 a piece. They're not.
You know, though, not that I want to come off as defending this, because I think it's reprehensible, but this is not exactly new. I mean, we've had games for years that are, you know, $60 to buy, and then it's $10 for a map pack or $15 for an expansion.
Yeah, it just seems like every game now, though, is buy the game, and I'm talking mainstream media games like
Grand Theft Auto, AAA titles.
You know, for example, we got Mortal Kombat just came out, microtransactions. You got Grand Theft Auto, where they have I don't know how much of it's really microtransactions, but you can pay real money for in-game currency or unlockables. So yeah, it's still microtransactions. It just seems like every game needs a microtransaction system now, and that the game isn't good enough, or we don't want to give you everything that we designed up front. We want to make you pay for it over and above, which is ridiculous.
Right. So even in the most egregious offense, with the $30, and I mean, there are some games where it was the multiplayer is cordoned off by a paywall. Half of the game is cordoned off by a paywall. Screw you guys.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
So, and like you said, Mr. Brad, going back that we have a lot of these companies that are doing this, or companies, games that are doing this, and this is a point that was brought up, was people are starting to get fatigued on this.
And the hot fixes or bug fixes post-launch, you know, 5-10 years ago, you bought a game, it was complete. And then you didn't have the option to fix it later. It had to be complete up front.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it doesn't work, we'll fix it next month. Oh, well, if you want that feature, you can pay for it. Oh, it's... The business model on video gaming has changed so drastically.
Yeah, it's... And like they said, with the first day of the launch of Mortal Kombat 10, it was nigh unplayable. You could barely do anything.
I think the bugginess is inexcusable. I understand the little bugs later on and trying to, you know, release patches to fix those, but releasing a game that doesn't play, that's just lazy and sloppy. As far as the expansion content goes, though, again, at the risk of sounding like an apologist, why shouldn't they do it? We've proven that we will pay.
There's a difference between an expansion and then DLC or things locked behind a paywall that should have been there to begin with.
Okay, but even so,
some of these things that are made during development, it's intentionally set aside for a paywall, while after the expansion is, okay, we have the game out, what's next is an expansion.
We've already proven we will pay.
Yeah, and I guess that's what it's going to take, is a global shift from the gaming community that...
And that's where the fatigue comes in.
You know, we paid the $60 for the game. We're not going to pay the next $10 to get the next map or whatever. You should have just included that.
It'll even come down to, you have microtransactions in your game? Screw you, we're not buying the game.
Yeah.
And there are several, you know, mobile games tend to be mostly microtransactions, and there are games I just pass over because of that. And the flip side of that is, there are games, one of the games I enjoy playing on my mobile device is The Simpsons Tapped Out. And it's full of microtransactions, of which I have never exercised one. I know that there are people that pay hundreds of dollars a month in microtransactions.
Yes, but
the difference with the mobile games, though, is they're either free or only cost you a couple bucks to get it.
Correct.
And in my opinion, and you and I, I think, share the same view on this, microtransactions should be there to enhance the game, but shouldn't be there. The content from the transaction shouldn't be a requirement to continue playing. And there are some games who demand the microtransaction to proceed versus other ones that are truly convenience and not necessity.
Yep.
Let me ask you, how, this is going to sound weird, intrusive are the ads for the microtransactions in Simpsons Tapped Out?
Not very. Every now and then it'll pop up with like a special. So the in-game currency is in donuts, of course.
Of course.
Yep.
I mean, why wouldn't it be?
That's what real life currency should be. I mean, if we're
agreed,
talking honestly.
Yeah, we should get our paycheck in donuts.
Awesome.
And so every now and then, there are items that can only be obtained through the in-game currency, and I don't have any of those. But they're not required to play the game. I mean, I've been playing it for quite a few months now, and I've never put a penny into it.
Nerd.
I know.
Because there are, I think it's called Final Fantasy All the Bravest. You bought the game, but then would have to pay for every song. This is a mobile tap beat game, by the way.
It's like Guitar Hero for your phone.
Yeah. Pay for every track you wanted to play.
Why bother?
Yeah.
Now, Rock Band for for the console, we had Rock Band for Xbox 360, and it comes with a base set of songs.
Yes.
And again, it's that balance. We didn't have to buy any more to play the game. The game was completely playable with what you bought it with. However, we spent, you know, a few more dollars and purchased tracks for songs that we like and, you know, built up a little music library of songs that we wanted to play. But that was not necessary. The game was completely playable without it.
Sure, and that's the point. I mean, RoboCraft, for instance, on Steam. No, we're not sponsored. It's a free-to-play game.
Wish.
I wish. As much hours as I've put into that game, yeah. is a free-to-play game. By paying into it, you don't necessarily, you will not gain an advantage over anybody else you're playing with, aside from speeding through the upgrade process. That's it.
It's not buying power, it's just buying experience.
Yeah, it's not even buying experience, it's buying the ability to gain more experience at a time.
It's buying but convenience.
If you and I were to play the game, and I paid for it and you didn't, and we were in the same match, I have no benefit over you with that.
Yeah, if you're not buying a 10% power to guns.
Yeah, you're thing. Not doing that. And to me, that's how microtransactions should be. But, you know, I'm also one who's not going to put hundreds of dollars into microtransactions. I'm going to buy what I feel is justifiable for my entertainment and go from there.
I hear you.
Awesome. Moving on.
In the long run, if you're going to put microtransactions in, people will stop playing your games.
If they're too tedious.
Yep.
Well, yeah. And you have to make that balance between, you know, is it worth 99 cents for 10 donuts to get this special character? Is it worth $30 to get one playable character?
Yep. Is it worth generating that content and forcing people to buy it? Will we sell enough to make it worthwhile? Or is it priced too high or too much of a necessity that people won't buy it? Yeah, there's a fine line to play to do it right.
The last transaction in Mortal Kombat 10 was easy fatality tokens. These were tokens that were consumable, or are tokens that are consumable, in order to do a fatality, which is at the end of the match, it's getting a special move, easier.
Awesome. That takes the fun right out of Mortal Kombat to me.
And see, that's where people are getting pissed off.
Yep. All right, moving on. Well, we beat that together to death.
Something's got to power all these games, right?
Sure. Good old coal power plants.
It should be the sales of the game.
No, we're talking physical power, not economic power.
Electrical power.
Power.
Power to the people.
Which is not what the video game industry is doing.
We're trying to move on here. It was a segue, okay?
Stop shooting my segue. You're giving me too much ammo to shoot with.
I know, right? Stop it. So, good news, though, on the electric generation front.
Oh.
Yes. We have reached a tipping point in new power sources. For the first time ever,
For the first time in forever.
Don't even.
Come on.
Get me a knife.
The balance of power, pardon the pun, has shifted away from fossil fuels to renewable energy.
Ooh.
The last year for which we have data is 2013, in which we added worldwide 143 gigawatts of renewable energy capacity and 141 gigawatts of fossil fuel energy.
Wow.
So for the first time, we actually added more capacity in renewable energy sources. That is geothermal, biomass, wind, solar, nuclear, and hydroelectric than we did for fossil fuels, including oil, gas, and coal.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I mean, when you see articles about the black rhino being extinct because of human interaction, it's nice. I realize this is a jump, but stay with me here. The fact that we are capable and willing to take the better path and energy usage, getting away from fossil fuels, and it working is the important thing to see there.
Yeah.
Lessens the load a little bit.
Yeah, obviously we're nowhere near out of the woods. I don't want this to be a lull into a false sense of security. We are doing serious damage to the planet.
Yep, but at least
and
now,
continue to do so. It is heartening to see that we're starting to make a shift.
We're seeing the value. We're seeing the benefits right now, or at least 2013, renewable energy accounted for slightly more than 50% electrical usage, or at least generation. It's only going
additional
go up from
capacity.
There. Yeah, additional capacity.
Meaning, right. So in the new power plants that were built, more were built of renewable sources than.
Okay.
So that's why I say we're not out of the woods. We're still getting a lot, most of our energy from fossil sources. But we are building more renewable sources now than we are fossil. So we're starting to shift the balance.
Got it. Okay. So I misunderstood. But yes, we're moving in that direction.
Yes. Slowly. Painfully slowly. But we are. Projections, though, if things continue on pace and technological advancements continue the way they have been, the price of wind and solar power continues to plummet with more efficient panels and better manufacturing techniques, to the point where it is now on par or cheaper than the price of grid electricity, which is a good thing.
Yes.
Solar currently makes up less than 1% of the electricity market today. But if projections hold, according to the International Energy Agency, by 2050, solar will be the single biggest source of power generation.
Nice.
So, like I said, it's slow, it's painful, we're not there, but we're making a shift in the right direction.
Now, I don't know about you, but every time we go to Home Depot or a home improvement store, we are accosted inside the building for the solar sales people trying to drum up business. You guys get
there? No, I haven't had that.
That's because you never see the sun out there. It's always covered in snow and nastiness.
Yeah, water, that thing that you're lacking.
That's right.
We can do a trade for a couple days.
Unfortunately, where we're at, we're in a condo or townhouse, and the complex, it's not worth it financially to have solar power, and B, I'm pretty sure the complex is against it because they want uniformity. Mm-hmm. As opposed to single family residence where you can kind of pick and choose and do whatever you want within.
You would think that.
To some degree. You still have some pretty firm HOAs. But we didn't have HOA at our old residence. So unfortunately, though, that means that you had nice houses and you had not so nice houses.
Well, I think, and one of the big projects that's being worked on at the moment is a consumer roof mount solar panel system that would be enough to supply power for the house. Maybe backfeed a little into the grid, but sure. Mostly just what does this household need? And okay, maybe it's not the prettiest looking thing, but if every house had a solar panel on the roof that was providing enough power for them, imagine what we would do to greenhouse gas emissions. If we longer needed power generation plants.
Yep. I mean,
between efficient and affordable roof mount solar panels and, again, at the risk of being a fanboy here, Tesla's proposed house-wide battery system or something similar. I mean, let's get some competition in the industry. Why is Tesla the only one doing this?
Because Elon's a genius.
Oh, okay, but, let's have the power company shift gears here. Let's do cheap, efficient solar panels on the roof, cheap, efficient battery backups in the garage, every house independently powered. You know?
At least a little bit. I mean, even if every house today had one solar panel, even if it wasn't enough to power that residence, but was enough to even help augment the current usage, there'd still be a quantifiable effect community.
Absolutely. And imagine how much greenhouse gas we would cut out of the environment, how much we would stop generating. Like you said, it doesn't, even if it's not enough to do away with everything, if we all had one.
Yep.
Even if it cut you know, 10% out of our consumption.
Yep. That's a lot.
10% out. Average that across even just the United States. That is hundreds of tons of CO2 not being generated.
Exactly. We don't need to go pure sustainable, but even if we augmented even just a little bit as a standard, it'd be huge.
Well, and we have to start somewhere. Even if we couldn't do full sustainable, like you said, let's start.
Yeah.
We're not going to get anywhere with zero.
Yep, every journey is taken with one step.
Exactly. And, you know, we need these associations, the homeowners associations and the you know, property leasing associations to get their heads out of their backsides.
Out of their pockets, more like it.
Yeah.
They have nothing to benefit. It's just that if you have a house, a solar panel array is not attractive. It's just not.
But it's so futuristic. I like it.
From the HOA standpoint, if there's two houses for sale in the same community and they're both equally comp, same floor plan, the one that's going to sell faster. Now, this may be off, but in HOA's perspective, the one without the solar panels. Now, someone who's proactive and up with the times like yourself or myself would see the solar panels as a huge benefit.
Obviously. Heck yeah.
But like I said, get their heads out of their pockets.
But HOA doesn't benefit from that. But I don't know. Maybe, you know, it's because it's on the exterior of a residency that typically falls under HOA responsibility. So, yeah, maybe it would be on them with no benefit back because they're not paying the electric bill. You are.
Yep.
But it's their, it would be their cost to buy and maintain because it's on the exterior of the product. So,
but, or you know, residents,
I mean.
We need to start progressing. We're at this tipping point where a lot of the major climate scientists are saying we're on the verge of doing irreparable damage. We already have countless species going extinct. We have the opportunity, a unique opportunity like no other time before, where we have the tools, the technology, the ability to make a difference, a positive difference, to actually start cleaning up.
Yep.
And we need these, we need the laws, we need the associations, we need these people to come along with us. I don't remember exactly, but I'm pretty sure my homeowners association, you've been out to my neighborhood.
I have.
I'm pretty sure our homeowners association has no solar panels in the agreement, which is just crazy.
Yeah, now I don't know how HOAs work when it's a single family establishment community like yourself. I mean, you're not in a townhome or a condo. You're in a standalone house.
Correct.
So I don't really know what the responsibilities are of an HOA there. Where we're at, because it's attached, you know, our stuff potentially can affect our neighbors who we share a wall with, and they share two walls with people. Our HOA is essentially responsible for the upkeep of the exterior of the property. If we have termite damage on the exterior, that's on them. If the roofing needs replacement, that's on them. If they're painting the buildings, the homes, that's on the HOA. So for us, the solar panels being on the exterior would follow under their responsibility. I don't know how that would work with you.
For us in the single family dwelling, everything is the responsibility of the homeowner. The roof comes off, I have to pay to replace it.
As I would understand it.
Yeah. Yep, yep. But the HOA's responsibility is in maintaining a uniform look of the neighborhood, right? The subdivision has a particular look. We can't go and paint our house Pepto-Bismol pink.
But you so want to.
You know, the thought crossed my mind.
People that find you.
From space.
From space.
You know, but we can't do that. There are bylaws of the association that limit what we can and can't do with our own property in order to maintain the community look. And I'm going from memory here, so I might be speaking out of turn, but I'm pretty sure one of them, because I thought it was weird when I first got it, but one of them was solar panels. No solar panels.
Yeah.
And stuff like that just needs to go away. This is the way of the future.
Let us ascend to the future. Wade's being very quiet.
Transcend to higher planes of existence. Where we stop destroying the planet we live on.
And now police are coming to Bradley's place due to their worried he might be an eco-terrorist.
And they'd be right.
NSA, bing bong.
Hey, we've got visitors.
Could you come over for dinner?
All the way in New Jersey. That's pretty well.
Yeah. But you know, it's one of those things that this is the only planet we have for now.
For now.
Maybe we branch out to another one. I know we're working on it.
Yes, we are.
But, you know, what is the legacy we take with us? Do we go and destroy that planet as well? Are we forced to leave this one for the new planet because we've done such a poor job of keeping up with this one? You know, think Wally.
I was just going to say Wally.
Think Elon Musk sending an additional 400,000 supplies for Mars expedition.
You know, are we going to be forced to leave because we've completely trashed this planet?
Because of ourselves.
Uh-huh. And I hope not.
Welcome to the Axiom.
Exactly. Well, gosh, I think that's probably as good a place as any to sign off. Leaving the planet in sorrow.
Keep on that gaming. Note. I'm sorry.
We'll see you guys next week.
That's a wrap.